නමෝ භගවති වාසුදේවාය ඕම් නමෝ භගවති වාසුදේවාය ඕම් නමෝ භගවති වාසුදේවාය Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, The History of the Life of Bhagavad-gita, Text 41. Continuing now the Yamadutas answering this question. They were asked a question about what Dharma is. You are the servants of Yamaraj, you have to say, who's also Dharmaraj, you have to say, what is Dharma? Now they continue their answer.
Yena
Swadhamni
Swadhamni
Omi
Bhava
Raja
Raja
Satta
Satta
Tamaha
Tamaha
Maya
Maya
Luna
Luna
Nama
Nama
Iya
Rupai-bhibhavyante
yatta
putam
yadivistat ham putam putam.
Yena
svadam yami bhava
Yena svadam yami bhava
Adhya Satta Tamo Maya
Guna
Nama Kriya Rupaya
Guna Nama Kriya Rupaya
Vibhavyante Hita Tatham
Vibhavyante Hita Tatham
Yena Sudhanya Mi Bhava
Yena Sudhanya Mi Bhava
Rajya Satta Tamo Maya Guna Nama Kriya Rupaya
Guna Nama Kriya Rupaya
Vibhavyante Yata Tatham
Vibhavyante Yata Tatham
Yena Sudhanya Mi Bhava
Yena Sudhanya Mi Bhava
Raja Satta Tamo Maya Guna Nama Kriya Rupaya Vibhavyante Yata Tatham
Vibhavyante Yata Tatham Yena Svadhanya Mi Bhava Yena Svadhanya Mi Bhava Raja Sattva Tamo Maya Raja Sattva Tamo Maya Guna Nama Kriya Rupaya Guna Nama Kriya Rupaya
Yena Sudhanya Mi Bhava 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 Yena Sudhanya M Narayan. Sudhamni.
Sudhamni.
Although in his own place.
Although in his own place.
The spiritual world.
The spiritual world.
Ami.
Ami.
All these.
All these.
Bhava. Manifestations.
Manifestations.
Raja Satta Tama Mayaha. Created by the three modes of material nature. Passion, goodness, and ignorance. The same sequence.
Guna,
qualities.
Quality.
Now,
Nama.
Names.
Names.
Kriya.
Kriya.
Activities.
Activities.
Rupai.
Rupai.
And with forms.
Vibhavyante
are variously manifested.
Yata
katam, exactly to the right point. Translation. The supreme cause of all causes, Narayan, is situated in his own abode in the spiritual world. But nevertheless, he controls the entire cosmic manifestation according to the three modes of material nature, sattva-guna, rajo-guna, and tamo-guna. In this way, all living entities are awarded different qualities, different names, such as brahmana, this in brackets, such as brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, and shudra. Brahmana, Kshatriya, and Vaishya, just as is true. Different duties according to Varnashrama institution and different forms. Thus, Narayana is the cause of the entire cosmic manifestation. Purport. Srila Prabhupada. The Vedas inform us, Natasya karyam karanam navidyate Natat samaschabhyadikam. Natat samaschabhyadikascha drishyate. Parasya shaktiya vividhaiva sruyate. Swabhavika jnana bhava kriya cha. Tasvatara Upanishad 6:8. Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is almighty, omnipotent. He has various multifarious energies, and therefore he is able to remain in his own abode and without endeavor supervise and manipulate the entire cosmic manifestation through the interaction of the three modes of material nature, sattva-guna, rajo-guna, and tamo-guna. These interactions create different forms, bodies, activities, and changes, which all occur perfectly. Because the Lord is perfect, everything works as if He were directly supervising and taking part in it. Atheistic men, however, being covered by the three modes of material nature, cannot see Narayana to be the supreme cause behind all activities. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:13, Pridhya gunamayaya bhavaya evi sarvam idam jagat mohitam nabijanati mam ebhyaha paramam avyayam. Deluded by the three modes, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. Because unintelligent agnostics are mohita, illusion, it's just like India. If we go in India, bang, bang, bang.
It's my fault because.
It's okay.
Just
keep going. Yeah, anything. Because unintelligent agnostics are mohita, illusioned by the three modes of material nature, they cannot understand that Narayana, Krishna, is the supreme cause of all activities as stated in Brahma Samhita 5:1, Ishwaraha, Parama, Krishna, Satchitananda, Vigraha, Anadya, Adya, Govinda, Sarva, Karana, Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Padasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pucharani Vishesha Sunyavari Pastracha Desha Tati Om Gyan Jimbadam Dasra Pananjana Sarakaya Chaksu Udyaritam Jainam Tajmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vansha Kalpa Krivyasya Krippa Sri Neva Chakritika In the previous verse, the Yamadutas have answered this question, what is dharma and what is adharma? Veda pranihito dharmo, that is, dharma is that which is prescribed in the Vedas. He adharmas and adharma is in fact tat viparyaya, just the opposite of that. Vedo Narayana Sakshat. Narayana, Veda, the Vedas, so Dharma is what is the Vedas? It is Narayana Sakshat, directly Narayana, and is therefore Swayambhu. Swayambhu applies to both Narayana. Swayambhu means self-born. Yeats uses that in the poem. Oh, self-born mockers of man's enterprises. Self-born. It is the Swayambhu. Iti Shushuma. Thus we have heard. But never says Iti Shushumna. It means not just from anybody, but from an authority. So Prabhupada adds from Yamaraj. Well, this is nice. Dharma, what is described in the Vedas, adharma, the opposite of that. The Vedas are directly Narayana and self-manifesting or self-form. So this, by the way, should clear up this confusion sometimes, because apurusheya, the Vedas are called apurusheya. So Prabhupada often says it is not man-made, but the acharyas actually say it's not made by anybody because they're eternal. So Prabhupada explains here, dharma is not manufactured by Narayana. It emanates from his breathing. I mean, it's just as much a part of Narayana as anything else. So it's eternal principles. And Prabhupada then says, the Vedas contain nothing besides the instructions of Vishnu, and one who follows the Vedic principles is a Vaishnava. The Vaishnava is not a member of a manufactured community of the material world. Quite a claim. Vaishnava is not a member of a manufactured community of this material world. Simply one who is a real knower of the Vedas. So that's, so now in this verse we understand something about Narayana. And also Narayana's creation and the relationship between them. Narayana is yena, by whom? Swadhani, in his own abode, he remains in his own place. All these bhava, manifestations of the material world. Those bhavas are made of, composed of, or created by Maya. Sattva, well here Rajat, Sattva, and Tamas, the three modes of material nature. And from that, guna, nama, kriya, rupa. And there they are. This way with qualities, names, activities, and forms manifested that way. Yata tatam, just the way it's supposed to be. In the purport, Prabhupada quotes this verse in the Svetasutara Upanishad. Many times he says, quotes this verse, especially the last, like Parasya Shaktir Vidhaya Vashudate Sravadika Dhyana Balakriya Cha. This verse is quoted usually to show how he does everything. He does everything through his shaktis. Jnana, bala, kriya, cha. The power of knowledge, the controlling system of the material world. Bala, strength, or the that which creates the material basis of things, and kriya, and energy by which activities are done. This is the second canto. These three divisions are created, and in jnana shakti, bala shakti, kriya shakti. Anishakti being also the manifestation of a controlling system like the demigods with this mode of goodness, and Balashakti manifests in the mode of forms of things, or material energy, so mode of ignorance, and Kriya activities, so mode of passion, directions for those. So by the point is that by the energies, just as the Vedas come out of him, his energies. This is basically the important point is that the absolute truth has energies. Very significant, because this is denied by the Mayavadis. My Mayavada philosophy, strictly speaking, and if you really follow Shankaracharya, means the absolute truth has no energies. And Shankaracharya, in his Sharirakha Bhashya, argues for this point. Even though, and Mahaprabhu says he contradicts Vyasadeva. Because one of the sutras says, Parinama thought that the world was created by the transformation of Brahman. And Shankaracharya says that you have to understand this, applying a conventional way of thinking, but actually, Brahman cannot be transformed. And so, he denies also the definition of Brahman with which the Ninth Sutra begins, Janmarasyataha, that from which everything comes. Janmarasyataha is wrong in the highest sense. So he recognizes. And so, why is, and the argument is that if the Absolute Truth was produced these energies, he would be changed. Transformation, Parinama. So, Mahaprabhu says Parinama refers not to the Absolute Truth, but to his energies. The energies are transformed. He remains the same. So this is an important point, that everything emanates from, this way, connected with, substantially, with the Supreme. Everything is Krishna's energies. This also, one of the works of Thomas Aquinas, Summa Contra Gentilis, he argues against emanation. Because that was at one time, Neoplatonism, Plotinus and everything, that was the Neoplatonistic philosophy. During the early part of the Christian era, was said that everything emanated from, the whole world was an emanation from the One. And so the Christian Neoplatonists, early like Origen and others, they took this up and tended to speak about that. But later on, this became, it was thought to lead to pantheism and paganism. Because if everything emanates from God, then in a sense everything is. So they also deny the connection. Then there's this creation from nothing. It's the official Christian doctrine of creation, ex nihilo. God creates the world, but he's not the material cause of it. Matter is created out of nothing. In other words, so God is some sense the cause, because he's the starts it. He says a word or something, and that brings matter out of nothing. And he guides it and directs it and everything, but the matter itself is separated from him. If you look at the creation account of Genesis, when the creation account begins, matter is already there. It's chaotic, it's unformed matter. It's like pradana or something like that. But it's already there, and it doesn't say where it comes from. Either it picks up the narrative a little later on, or it's just always there. In Plato's account, in the Timaeus, he has the creator god, the Demiurgos, who's different from the ultimate source of everything, imposed the forms on pre-existing chaotic matter. Anyway, the Christians came up with this doctrine. It was thought to lead to paganism or pantheism. Pantheism is the idea of, well, everything is God. Nature is God. Everything is God. I'm God. You're God. So that it's denied. And Aquinas gives the same argument that if everything emanated from God, God would be changed. He's changeless. But in support of the idea that God is unchanged, that this quotation from the Upanishads is given, Om Purna Madhapurna Vidhan Purna Purna. He can produce the energy to go out, and he can produce so many things and is not diminished. So Krishna's, and just like the Vedas are eternally part of Krishna, Krishna's various energies are associated with Krishna. Even when there's no world manifested, the energies are still there. in the subtle state. And actually, you see, when Narayan is depicted, he's surrounded by his energies who are associates, the persons. And the Lord is always there because the other energy, the spiritual energy, is always manifest. So some of the material energy sometimes is manifest, sometimes it's not manifest. The spiritual energy, by which he still has a world, this dhamma, dhamma is in his own abode. His own abode is a place that has associates, a place to sit. That's the manifestation of his internal or spiritual energy. This one. And that he's related with quite closely. But the material energy here, it says, although it comes from him, still he remains. The point of here, he's transcendent. He does not come into contact with the material energy in any way. Even though he has this feature of super soul, the flies are bothering you.
Yes.
Even though you brought them in with you, maybe. Even though he has the, even though, as in the forms of super soul, he's dealing with the jivas who are in the material energy, superintends the creation of everything, he still is not directly involved. The super soul in the heart is described as witnessing. Upadrasta and Anumanta. He is the overseer and the permitter. But actually everything else that's done is done by delegated agents. So, he remains in his own abode and without endeavor supervises Upadrasta and manipulates the entire cosmic manifestation, the interaction of the three modes of material nature. So he just runs on. Prabhupada gave one directive, one example of separated energy. It's kind of a crude example, but he said he was lecturing and his voice was being recorded, so then he played the recording as his separated energy. So somehow like that, and that energy, the three modes, Raja, Sattva, Tamo, Maya, Guna, Nama, Kriya, Rupa, Vaika. And so these different things are created. The qualities of various entities, their names, Sat, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya. So these names, even when there's no material nature, these names are there. Yeah, because they come from the Vedas. The whole nomenclature of the material world is there. Even the names of the demigods are there. Indra, Chandra, Surya, these are their names. But the demigods themselves are not eternal. But Indra is like a title, Chandra is a title, Surya is a title. Somebody gets that office because it's necessary. And so everything works as if he were directly supervising. He's a kind of overseer, means you remote supervise and taking part in it. So, nevertheless, he's behind it. The Vedas declare this, but then Prabhupada says, atheistic people, they can't see it. Now, one reason they can't see it is because of this detachment complex. They can't see it. What he's saying is this yatadatam, everything's working really nicely. So because it's working really nicely, it looks like it just goes on by itself. You don't need God to show up all the time. to manipulate it. It's pretty much set like it is, how it runs. So when it looks like it's running automatically, they think, oh, there's no God in control. It's self-sufficient. It's Swayambhu. And now you run into a kind of a philosophical issue. Because when you see something that's complicated and intricate and running by itself, you can either say it was always there. That's one thing you can just say. It just was always there. But then if you see it has a tendency to run down, or something like that, or just that's sort of unsatisfactory, and you see that anything around is not always there, if every ingredient of the whole thing is temporary, then why should the whole thing itself not have the same temporary quality? So where did it come from? And then people end up searching for the first cause. And even material scientists end up searching for the first cause while denying it's there. And so they also go back to this unity. You know, this stuff that, something that sounds like Mahatattva. You know, and there's this sort of evolution that takes place with the in the first, there was a book out once of the first 3 seconds of creation or something like that, when the so-called Big Bang took place. And Prabhupada describes this as a chunk that exploded, but the chunk has unique properties according to these theorists. And again, it's this impulse to like just get it as simple as possible and with a little differentiation so that the chunk is actually a point. But boy, it is a far out point. Because it's infinitesimal in size and infinite in mass. And when it explodes, it doesn't explode in space. But when it explodes, space is manifest. So this account still leaves some questions, like where did the point come from and what caused it to explode? And it's still exploding according to them. And at that point, although they keep looking, they also say, if you say God or something like that, or you know, they immediately say, don't belong in the physics department. This is not science anymore. Because it would seem you ultimately you have to come to something that caused everything but had no cause. And that's the absolute truth. But they want to reduce it to a kind of bare nothing but has all this power and all this potential. So everything comes from nothing, and then how the variety comes, ultimately they say chance. Absolute chance. The difference is that if I flip a coin, heads or tails, it's chance, 50-50 chance to be heads or tails. And if you keep a record of it, although there might be some long string of heads or long string of tails, ultimately it will show what 50-50. It's chance. But on the other hand, if you knew everything, if I have my thumb here with the coin on it, and you knew everything, you know, the force by which the thumb was going, the exact angle of the thumb, the height over the floor, the resilience of the floor, the air currents, if you, every single physical factor, and you knew in the beginning whether it was heads or tails, you could say how it would. So you can get back to the cause. That's chance. But this notion of absolute chance is the notion that even if you knew everything, you had absolutely everything, you knew which side of the coin was up, you knew, you got all, every piece of data, you still couldn't predict. It would be as if there were another cause, but there's not. It just happens for no reason. This is the idea of absolute chance. In other words, again, this all-powerful nothing. But that's the idea of absolute chance. And it's a really hard, you can't get your head around it. And somebody told me that he was studying physics and he complained to the professor about it. And he just said, his answer was, you'll get used to it. So in the beginning, everything comes. So where there's God, they just simply substituted nothing. Otherwise, maybe there's a hidden power. Anyway, because nothing just turns out to be a really super potent nothing. And that's why they end up being Buddhists. They take this nothing and put a cap, make it a capital N. I know, but if you read what the Shunyavada Buddhism says, Shunya means void. Of course, they all want to be devotees, so they start worshiping Buddha as God, but that's a later development influenced by the Vedas. But even people that worship Buddha, they tend to think that, yeah, we'll get to the place of Buddha, and we'll go to Buddha, but then there'll be further advancement where we attain Hari Nirvana, higher than Buddha. But when you come to Krishna, there's nothing. You don't go any further. You don't become Krishna. You don't transcend Krishna. You don't become equal to Krishna. You remain the servant. Because people don't want to remain the servant. They want to somehow become the master. But also, everyone, same this Mayavada philosophy, same thing, and become God. So, anyway, so the world is done by Krishna, that he himself simultaneously makes everything happen and yet remains detached, uninvolved in things. And that's why but things run so well, that those people who are covered by the three modes, they cannot understand. Cannot understand them. Even if they come to the mode of goodness and want to become detached from the world, understand the faults of material existence, many times they become Mayavadis. But then, that also has its difficulties. So this is. They're explaining here that this disposition here of Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay? Questions? Yeah?
Could we explain further about the relationship between Lord Vishnu and Satyagun?
Well, between who?
Lord Vishnu and Satyagun.
And Satyagun?
Yeah.
Okay. Satyagun. Satyaguna, the mode of goodness, is for us a state in which Vishnu can be realized. That doesn't mean that everybody who's in Satyaguna realizes Vishnu. Satyaguna means, in the material world, we think things are created. And that's what, when things are being created, then that's the activities of the mode of passion, rajaguna. And things are being destroyed, falling apart. When things are being destroyed, that is the activity of the mode of ignorance, tamaguna. And things are being maintained. That's sattvaguna. And so, not only do we see it outside, but we're also psychologically or psychophysiologically situated in one of these modes at the time of birth, and through association we become conditioned by one of these modes, and we acquire a certain nature. And that's why those who are brahmanas, or those who are predominantly in the mode of goodness, kshatriyas, a mixture of goodness and passion, vaishyas, a mixture of passion and ignorance, shudras, a mode of ignorance. Everything is, and there are commutations and permutations and so on, produce all the different forms of life. So, the word brahmana means one who can understand Brahma and understand transcendence. Because in Sattva-bhuma, one can see things in the proper way. It's just a mentality. Like, let's take, you know, our attention or our consciousness. Attention in the mode of passion is intense, but it's narrowly focused on objects of desire, what you want. The idea is when one is sexually agitated, the attention is narrowly focused on an object of desire, and one is impelled by the energy of passion to try to get what you want. When the desire is satisfied, then it's a chance to change. But it's a narrow, highly focused, and sometimes quite intense consciousness. Sometimes it's more long term. Someone wants money. You know, that they're narrowly focused. So people in the mode of passion are driven in this way. But this narrow focus on different objects causes a distortion in knowledge. Because you only look at things that are relevant to your own desires. And you interpret everything in terms of your own desires. The mode of ignorance is oblivion. You don't know what's like Mr. Jones, something's happening, but you don't know what it is. You're just like your idea of a good time is to sleep or to take some drugs that put you to sleep. But it's the lower conscious, it's more, you know, it's dim awareness. Like a tree or a stone or an animal, not much. And the mode of passion, there's energy to acquire the object of desire. But the mode of ignorance, you don't want to get up off the couch. And so this is the mode of ignorance. So all those manifestations. So consciousness in the mode of ignorance is just, and even when you see something, you're bewildered about what it is. You don't understand it. You're not enterprising enough to figure out. So you're in the mode of ignorance. When there's desires or plans for activities, it never gets beyond dreaming or fantasizing. First, the mode of passion, put something into action, and the rest is a little practice. The people in the mode of ignorance said their fantasies are all, I'm going to go to the world, you know, do this and do that and talk about it. Dream about it, but nothing ever happens, you know. And usually it's somebody in the mode of passion who sees some plan of somebody in the mode of ignorance, you can first go, this is not going to work. Things don't happen this way, you know.
That's why it requires unlimited numbers, you know.
Yeah, right.
Those dreams are like so impractical.
So, So motive ignorance, consciousness is really oblivious and distorted completely. Motive passion, it's narrowly focused, and there's also distortion. A motive goodness, it means that this narrow focus on the object of desire is not there. But unlike the motive ignorance where you're oblivious, in the mode of goodness, one is very interested and alert. I was just reading somebody in this little book of Prabhupada's memories. Prabhupada was talking about how an intelligent person, he asked somebody who was sleeping in a room how many rafters there were in the ceiling. I don't know. Prabhupada said, an intelligent person notices everything. He even remembers how many rafters, how many beings there were in the ceiling. I mean, this is a mode of goodness. You're very detached, but still alert, really alert and interested. And because you're detached and interested, then you can actually gain knowledge. Because you see things that are not distorted by what you want. So the Brahmana is supposed to be in the mode of goodness. They're detached, the consciousness is pure, it's calm, one is peaceful. A person in the mode of passion is never peaceful, they're driven by their desires. Looks like a person in the mode of ignorance is peaceful, but it's the peace of the graveyard. So they're very, very peaceful. And that's the case in which knowledge can take place. And really for understanding spiritual science, this is required, because it used to be that this, you know, society was there to cultivate the mode of goodness. People were taught how to do it. Students had to be celibate, for example. This was just absolutely understood, until a couple of hundred years ago, even in the West. So Narayan can be understood in this way. Now, in the spiritual world, the situation is pure goodness. That is to say, nothing comes into being. So there's no manifestation in all of the mode of passion. And nothing is destroyed. There's no manifestation at all in the mode of ignorance. So the situation of spiritual reality is goodness. But as long as you're in the material world, the material sattva-gun is always got some little bit of passion and ignorance, you know, bracketing it or compromising it. But otherwise, it's the same sattva. And so when sattva increases, one can also understand spiritual philosophy, and so that's the platform for understanding. All right. That is why when we need the Guna avatars, Narayana himself takes charge of the mode of goodness. Lord Shiva, ignorance and Brahma, passion. Okay? Absolutely.
The word Guna here, that's not referring to the mode.
Nature.
Is Kriya referring to obstacles?
Activities. Activity in general means activity.
And Raja, is that referring to meditation? Huh? It says Raja, is that referring to meditation?
Oh, that's Rajaha, with a short A, is the most passionate. Yeah, Raja Yoga, the royal yoga.